Time now for Growing the Game with Ballsy, a special edition brought to you by our friends at Pizza Hut in Saskatchewan. Also, Real Estate. Check them out online at realestate.ca. And Paul Waldo over at Royal LePage in Regina and surrounding area. If you want to get in the real estate game, give Paul a call, 306-502-5355. Unfortunately, 2018 not wrapping up in the best of ways for Rider Nation. We lost one of our legends, Ted Ernest, a six-time All-Star and a member of the very first championship team in 1966. I'm joined on the phone by one of his former teammates, The Undertaker, a legend in his own right, Bill Baker. Bill, thanks for joining me. And what do you remember first about your first encounter with Ted Ernest?
Well, he was, you know, we spent so much time together. My first encounters were probably, that I really remember, were actually with Ted in the locker room. And we used to have, people were allowed to bring their, players were allowed to bring their sons to the locker room on pregame day. So certainly the experience I had with Mark and Ted, and Mark I'm still, you know, very much in touch with and close to, and Ted and all the shenanigans that went on, and the great mischievous time that Ted had. He was a wonderfully mischievous guy in the locker room, and he sat right across from me, and Ronnie sat just two rows down. Mm-hmm. And the shenanigans that went on with Ted. Ted was the, he loved the locker room stuff. He loved the kibitzing. On the other hand, he was a very serious football player, but he had a great sense of fun about him, and that carried through with everything he did.
Can you tell us about some of maybe his mischievousness, like some of the pranks or some of the things he used to do in the locker room? Can you remember a couple stories?
Well, one of the funniest things that's a little long is that Ted sent Mark over. Mark was about 7 or 8 at the time to hit Benny down the. We had that cross hall sort of locker room, mm-hmm. and hit Benny in the face with a little roll of tape. And so Mark went down, hit Benny in the face with his tape. And I'm sitting, Ronnie's sitting there 2 doors down, and we look at each other and go, "Uh-oh, this isn't going to be good." So Benny sat there for about 5 minutes, making this great big hard ball of tape, and we all knew what was going to happen, and we're just sitting there. I mean, I can remember clearly Ronnie just shaking her head, going, "Here it goes." And Ted knew what was going to happen. And so Benny walked down, you know, 6 feet, took a full pitch, hit Ted right in the face with his big hard roll of tape, and then said, "It's not the kid's fault, Ted." And Ted just grimaced and took it. And I have such a clear memory of Ronnie. We just sat there and said, "Oh, my God." But this he was always doing stuff to keep himself entertained, and I know when I was a rookie, you get special attention. I soon found out that I would not go in the shower room until Ted had left the shower room. So I would make sure as a rookie I would wait patiently, because otherwise he was going to get the cold water hose out or God knows what else he was going to do to you in there as a rookie. Yeah. But you're going to pay the price. So he had a great fun of the locker room and a great fun of, and say, we were very close friends, and right to the end we were, and spent a tremendous amount of time, you know, as football early in his career, but also later on in, mm-hmm. in working together and hunting together. And I say Ted was a very smart guy, that I say very mischievous, and a great sense of fun. I say I love the locker room. Him and Lancaster, probably, if I had to say who are the two guys who love the locker room atmosphere the most, it'd be probably Ted and Ronnie.
Yeah.
They had great fun, and Ronnie loved Ted's shenanigans, loved watching them, and Ted loved doing them. And well, Mark, being his son, was Mark, who played for the Riders later on. Mm-hmm. Mark was, Benny would do stuff like, Ted had already gone out to the field, and it was a pre-game day, so the kids were allowed in the locker room. And Benny taped Mark to the post in the middle of the stadium and left him there, and we get out in the field and somebody goes, "Where's Mark?" And somebody said, "Go check the locker room. There's poor little Mark taped to the post in the locker room."
That is hilarious. But
so my memories of Ted, and same with on the fishing stuff, another great story with him. We were up on a fishing trip. My wife was up with me, Kathy, and we're up flying north, and it was a great, great place. And he was a very meticulous guy, too, so the camp was just spotless. But there was a bag of peanuts there, and we went over to get some peanuts, and Ted said, no, those, you can't eat those. Those are the squirrel peanuts. And he'd set up a relay around the cabin, and he had these squirrels peanut train that they would come in the cabin as you're sitting there and run around on this circuit and get peanuts. But he was always doing stuff interesting, always fun, always very, very sort of a, in his last years, because he had dementia for about 12 or 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
He told me back when he was in his late 60s, we were on a hunting trip, and he said, Billy boy, I got to watch it. I got to keep everything in one pocket, so you got to watch out for me. I said, well, but he faced it, unlike so many dementia people, he faced it in a straight-up way. Instead of trying to hide it, once it got bad enough where he knew it was serious, that's what he said. You got to watch me. Make sure I don't do something. And he did that for, 12, 13 years, and the last five were really pretty tough.
Hey, Bill, let me ask you. Do you think his early dementia had anything to do with football?
Well, you can't. I remember Ted having a very serious concussion in Calgary back in about 1969 or 70, and at that time he was totally out of it. He stood in the sidelines, didn't know where we were, had no memory of it. And in those days, you never thought of taking the next week off.
Right.
You know, it was as soon as your head stopped spinning, you were playing again. Obviously, there may be some impact. Obviously, you can't say there wasn't. I think that obviously you getting hit in the head, especially as a center or like offensive guard, mm-hmm. you take so many shots in your head because you have to lead with your head because that's the position.
Mm-hmm.
It can't help you, that's for sure. And I wouldn't be surprised at all. I hope Ted's brain is being examined for what goes on, because certainly his dementia, when it hit him. But again, what was really interesting about Ted was with dementia, he had programmed himself. So even the last conversation I had with him here about a month ago, he was still doing his best to be cheerful and positive. And he would always say to me, and it would be a typical dementia patient, it'd be a two-minute conversation went on for a half an hour, mm-hmm. it'd be over and over and over again. And he'd always ask me how old I was again and when, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then he'd always say, boy, we had a good time, Bill. He said, God, we had fun. God, we were so lucky. He said, to live when we lived and the times we had with Eagle and all the different guys we played with. Mm-hmm. And then the time after, he said, boy, we had a great time,
Yeah.
In that conversation, he said to me, Pa, I never had a negative conversation with him. Maybe one time years before that about his personal situation. He was never negative. He was always, God, we had a great time, and boy, were we lucky.
I started this podcast to grow the game of football and continue to grow the game of football. So obviously the game has changed in terms of protecting players, so that's a good thing. I think a lot of times we forget about guys like Ted Ernest and Bill Baker and Ron Lancaster. We just move on to the next guy and the next guy. So I'm really happy to have you on to talk about a guy like this. And I want to bring this up to you too, though. When a guy like Ted Ernest, who you went to war with, quote-unquote, and played a very physical position like yourself, when a guy like this passes on, Bill Baker, do you think about your own mortality and your own, like, what do you think about your playing career in terms of, do you regret playing the game of football? And do you think about your own mortality when a guy like Ted Ernest passes on?
Well, you should be very aware of it, because you should do everything you can out of football. And what I did, I started having some pretty serious issues, when I was in my early 30s, 40 years ago, mm-hmm. and I was still playing football.
Mm-hmm.
And I became an absolute nut on acupuncture, because I couldn't raise my left arm, I couldn't do this, I couldn't do that, and I still wanted to have a ability to ski and do stuff. So I did that intensively, and I give that full credit. And now there's all sorts of things that are, to sort of take this on. But I did that intensively, and I think mentally, I don't think I've lost much. Maybe I have. Maybe I don't know. I skied over 30 days last year, and I still ski pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 73 years old, and but you got to get up. You got to get up and take it on. I think with him. So a lot of players. See, Ted was very busy business wise.
Right.
And I think, and I've always been very busy business wise, and I'm still very active in all sorts of things that I mm-hmm. to keep my mind going. I think so many ball players, when they get through football, they sink into nowhere.
Yeah.
They've got nothing. And keeping them entertained, I think keeping their brain active, I think is terribly important.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, Ted
did that, but in spite of that, he's still by 67, 68, he was showing heart signs of dementia.
Hey, you talk about Bill Baker joining us here, the living legend, The Undertaker, joining me here on Growing the Game with Ballsy, reflecting on the life of Ted Ernest, one of the great riders who passed away this past weekend in Saskatoon at the age of 81. Now, you talk about smarts. He was smart playing center, playing with Ron Lancaster. Maybe that's why they had that, brotherly relationship where they were close. But you know yourself, you got to be one of the smartest guys in the field to be the center. You're like the quarterback of that offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And Bud
mm-hmm.
Grant, Bud Grant, the great Winnipeg Blue Bomber and Minnesota yep. Viking head coach, said he was probably the best center that he's ever seen. It didn't matter what side of the border it was. Just talk about the greatness that was Ted Ernest on the football field.
That was in Bud Grant clearly, and Ted, he clearly stated, he yep. said he thought Ted was the best center in football, period, yep. just as you said.
Yeah.
And he was a great center, and he was a very smart guy on the field and very, positioning, et cetera, et cetera. Very smart, he was a good-sized guy, 6'3", he played about 250 in those days. I was a big, good-sized guy, very quick, but very smart. And smarts really count, especially at center, because just what you said, you're basically controlling the blocking, at least in our offense,
mm-hmm.
and his relation with Ronnie was terrific. And so Ted played a great role in the day-to-day activities on the field and how you played the game. And then, again, played a great role off the field because he was such a positive guy
mm-hmm.
who played and worked and did sports and went hunting and was a great sort of a person to be around. Mm-hmm. So between him and Lancaster, if you had two, there's some great – Ed McQuarters is another guy who I have enormous respect for, and obviously George Reed, those guys are terrific, and some other guys. But the two leaders in my mind on that team at that time were really the important guys were Ted – on and off the field, because off the field, I can tell you, while I was a rookie, I'll tell you another quick story.
Mm-hmm.
We were at Edmonton or someplace, Calgary, and I leave my door open, which you certainly learn you never do. Left the door open my room, and I went and left my hotel room, and I came back in, closed the door, sat down in the chair, turned the TV on, and heard something in my closet. And luckily, I'd gotten back in time because Ted was going to throw all my clothes out the window into the pool down below. And I heard this scurrying in my closet. I opened the closet door, and there's Ted standing in my closet.
Wow.
Ted, I'm going to do something really nasty if I catch you doing this again. And I can tell you some other stories, too.
Can you imagine, Bill, can you imagine if you guys had social media back then, what kind of problems you would have got into?
Well, we were pretty, it was pretty clean fun in the sense it was guys, locker room stuff. But there was a lot of stuff that went on that was, that was on the edge of that. But it wasn't, don't forget in those days, the bathroom in the dressing room was open doored to the rest of the
locker room
of the place, so really privacy and stuff like that was pretty much unheard of,
Yeah, for sure. Hey, here's a great comment from your old teammate Ted Ernest. I played until 1970 when John Helton, the former Calgary Stampeder Hall of Famer, retired me. I got tired of lying on my back and yelling at Ronnie to look out. I think that's a funny quote, but you know what? Here's a guy at 33, still an elite player, and retired after 10 seasons because he wanted to go out in his own terms.
Well, yeah, and at that time, there was an All-Star game being played or whatever it was that in 71. And so he actually wanted, and I was a player rep, so he actually wanted to play in the All-Star game in Hamilton and I think go out for the party, of course, and to see the boys and say goodbye.
Yeah.
So he actually went out. They were a little up because they knew he was going to retire. And I said, well, he's not retired yet. So he went out and played in that because he wanted to go out and have fun with his old buddies, guys you play with and play against.
Mm-hmm.
And then retire when he was still going up, but he was 33 at the time, I think, or 34.
Yeah,
he retired, but he wanted to have that last fun, because football's got to, it was fun. It's not fun some days, but for us, we had a lot of fun playing football. So Ted had a lot of fun, mm-hmm. and wanted to go out and have a big party with all his old guys that he knew throughout the years, and then get on with life because he was very busy. He obviously was working. Had worked his whole career, too, which was unique in Saskatchewan.
Yeah, what's interesting, I want to touch on that, Bill, because you and him have a nice relationship this way. Ernest worked in the farm and industrial equipment business. He was also chairman and CEO of the Saskatchewan Liquor Board for 5 years, which would make my listeners pretty excited. But following the 86 season, he suggested that one Bill Baker then a fellow member of the Riders executive take over as the GM. Tell us about that.
I was at a meeting. We went to our first board meeting together, both as rookie board members, and he surprised me, didn't tell me beforehand, and said, blah, 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 Bill, you should do this. And everybody looked sort of aghast because I don't think it was very popular with a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But he said, well, you should do this. He said, So we did it, but he was a great part of that, and so were other. You know, I had great support from Ekstrand, Ronnie, when I was Commissioner. Ronnie came to see me in Toronto and said, why are you leaving, blah, blah, blah. And Ted was a great part of that. So it was a real, again, it was a bunch of the old guys getting together. And on game day in 87, we'd have a bunch of the old players, those sorts of people who, are, if we're alive, are still in contact with, who are all prepared to really do whatever they could to make the Rough Riders, to make sure they survived. And we got through that awful financial crisis. Because,
right,
as you know, 86, 87 was a hell of a crisis. And Ted played a great role in being strategic, because Ted's a very smart guy in knowing what we should do and not do. And for me, he was a great guy to talk to, because I could always count on his positive encouragement, but also to make sure I wasn't going in the ditch someplace, to make sure I was not going off the road, because Ted was very, very, very critical in that whole process.
Mm-hmm. Bill Baker, the living legend, The Undertaker, joining me here on Growing the Game with Ballsy. A couple more minutes talking about Ted Ernest and his great life, the Rider legend passing away recently in Saskatoon. So, I look at this, what's interesting is you get anointed the president, or pardon me, the GM. You go on to run the Canadian Football League and hand the trophy over to Al Ford, but Ted and his son Mark, a part of that 89 team, and they become the first father-son championship duo in Rough Rider history. And when we talk about the Ernestes, they're like the royal family of the Riders. Al Ernest, Ted's father, spent seven seasons with the then Regina Rough Riders. Fred Goodman, Ted's uncle, was a member of the Rough Riders from 29 to 33. Jack, Ted's brother, was a quarterback of the Riders, 58 and 59. And then, of course, Mark, his son, played on the 89 Grey Cup championship team. So really, that's kind of the royal family of the Rough Riders when you look at it.
No, and we had a reunion out here at our place, actually, about 5, 6, 7 years ago, it was. Mm-hmm. And all those guys that were, Barry was there, Jack was there, Mark was there, Ted was there.
Yeah.
And we had a little reunion, a celebration, because Barry didn't last much longer after that. He was very ill, and we had a great celebration of the Ernest family. But no, the role they played in the Rough Riders was tremendous. And they're all those guys, like Ted. Ted was a very nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
Mischievous, very nice person. And Mark's the same way. Mark's a trophy of a guy. He's a great guy, And I say him growing up in the locker room was a wonderful thing. It's how what a great guy he turned out to be, and part of that was that influence. But no, they were a great. They all. By the way, we went to Scott Collegiate. Ted and I went to Scott. We both graduated from Scott Collegiate,
mm-hmm.
Which Normie Fieldgate also did from BC, from Scott Collegiate. So that whole family unit, it's a terrific story. Ted was a terrific guy and a terrific family.
All right, Bill, last question for you. If we were to write Ted Ernest's football epitaph, what do you think it should read? What should it say about Ted Ernest?
Oh, a guy who the old thing, he loved the game, he loved the locker room, and he was a great team player.
Excellent ending to this portion, or this episode of Growing the Game with Ballsy. Bill, thanks for this. Happy New Year to you and yours. Thanks for being a supporter of this podcast, too. I appreciate it.
My best to all of you. Take care.